Welcome, everyone, to the Runaways Rundown podcast by Fantastic Geek, your official, unofficial voice of the Marvel Cinematic Community. My name is Matt, and joining me is the best urban forager around. It's Pete. Hello, Pete.
With us, not for us, right, Boo? The Runaways Rundown podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 204, Old School, is brought to you by Mike on a Bike's conservative asset pricing model. Why ask for $100 when you can get $50?
Pete, he's just trying to give back this holiday season, I suppose. And just a reminder that on our Pop Culture Podcast feed, we've been giving away a ton of presents for your ears. We got some Aquaman. We got some Once Upon a Deadpool. We got some Christmas Story rerun. And we have some Star Wars holiday special commentary track. All there, all goodness, all just great for your ears.
What do you say we get to that Runaways recap?
Take us to it, Pete.
The kids confront Topher. Chase and Alex feel insecure while Gert thinks he's an undercover cop. Topher tells the group what he saw Molly do, and she's instantly smitten. Nico uses the power of the staff to stick him in a cone of silence as the debate continues, with Carolina also taking his side. Nico sees him rub a substance on his wrist, which causes his eyes to light up like Molly's and break the spell. They give Topher a place to crash, but set old Lace as guard dog. Nico lets him know she's on to him. In the morning, Chase awakes to Gert's anxiety, and they discuss their new normal, which is not knowing what day of the week it is. While they miss things they never thought they would, their new life isn't that terrible. Gert baby talks old Lace and finds Topher has tunneled out. The Wilders arrive at Pride HQ, but Jeffrey doesn't want coffee. He wants an explanation why Catherine killed Darius. After all, they met because Jeffrey killed his boss, and they were brothers too. They were boys, but she says it's all business. The Minorus arrive with the news the kids are no longer wanted for murder and scones. Jonah goes to see Victor and uses his alien 3D printer to build the box before he starts coughing up blood. Leslie and the Yorkses confront the Wilders on their failed rogue mission to extract Alex. They point out Tina gave Nico the staff. She said she did it so she doesn't lose her other daughter and she can protect their children. The Yorkses reiterate their plan to poison Jonah with a serum, but they need to do a trial run biopsying the entities at the dig site and testing it on them. Leslie will get them access. They plan to question the volunteers at the Pride soup kitchen for details. Molly and Topher continue to bond over the street smart spoils he's prepared to provide the group. She questions him about his eyes, and he lies about when his powers came to him, giving her what seems like false hope that they could be related. Molly reveals she thinks her geologist parents may have done experiments on her when she was little, before everybody else joins them. Topher tells them he knows who they are, and they need to be careful about the company they keep, because not everyone is as trustworthy as he is. Alex has lost his cornrows and created a bulletin board to try to prevent the earthquake. Pride interrogates soup kitchen volunteer Jules. Their descriptions match so many of the kids she sees, but she has a client who's very plugged in, and that's our old friend Mike on a Bike, who she happens to have brought. Former finance major Mike demands $50 to talk and tells them everything from the Fistigons to old Lace. Jonah leaves a message for Carolina that he needs or would like to meet before they run out of time. She texts him back and agrees to meet. She feeds Nico a cover story that she's going to head to Hollywood Boulevard to take pictures with tourists disguised as a Disney princess because of corporate synergy. Alex tells Chase he needs more computer power to thwart the dig site. All he needs is an 18-core, 36-thread processing chip, whatever that is, which their old high school just happens to have, and they plan to use Topher to help them infiltrate Atlas Academy. At Angel's flight, a coughing Jonah awaits Carolina, where she explains her cover story. In the tram, he tells her she is his only priority and offers her all his cash. She wants to know if he's sick and answers about who or what she is, but he intends to show her instead. At the dig site, the Yorpses drop the drone into the hole. Dale is worried the plan won't work. Topher has supplied the group with three lifts, courtesy of vouchers from a party he crashed. He rides with Nico, where she's icy at first, but he smooth talks her about Wicca. She asks him about the vial he used to turn his eyes yellow earlier, and he redirects, asking if all of them are holding performance-enhancing drugs as well. At Atlas, Alex directs Topher to where to get the computer components they need without running into the annoying vape team. Sick clouds, bruh. But he sees the welt on his wrist where he uses whatever he's using. The drone returns with the stinky biopsy samples, which Dale compares to smelly cheeses, and they administer the serum, which kills the tissue and seems to set off another earthquake. The tremor forces the population of the school outside, but Gert has gone inside to get her meds. Nurse Nightmare thinks it's Gert's first day back, but the flyer by the phone tells her it's not, and she notifies Pride. Inside the school, Alex and Chase run into a locked door, but Chase knows someone who stole a master key freshman year. Enter Eiffel, who's taking selfies in the gender-neutral bathroom. Gert joins them just in time to jealously glimpse Chase with Eiffel. Jonah and Carolina head to the dig site on foot because the earthquake has knocked out the traffic lights. Topher searches his jacket for his vial, but is unable to find it as Pride arrives at Atlas. Jonah and Carolina see the Yorkses, who flee the dig site. The group reunites with Topher, who has the computer part. Chase looks back longingly at high school before reluctantly leaving it behind again. Not only has the computer hotspot helped Alex, but Topher also got him a phone, which he considers rent. Gert asks about going back to Atlas again for her meds, but Alex wants to know how Topher's eyes turned yellow, which he says might run in his family. Nico asks to speak to him alone, where she reveals she stole his vial. She wants to know what it is and where he got it. Jonah shows Carolina his hole.
Pete, villainous forces in this episode, not quite sold that Topher is a baddie, but not quite sold that he's a goodie, particularly with some of the, some of the lack of sharing that he's doing.
Well, I mean, we see very early on that he uses something on his wrist that Carolina is also looking in the same direction of, but apparently misses because Nico's got better vision or better attention. I don't know. It's some kind of performance enhancement. Is it drugs? I think the simple answer is no. But it's clearly connected to Molly's abilities, and she throws out again the idea of geology. It looked like some kind of powder probably made from the rocks that may have given her her powers.
Moving on to Jonah. Pete, let me tell you something, a little directing 101 here. When the script calls for a Jonah with declining health, thank goodness we have director Patrick Norris, a two-time Emmy winner for outstanding achievement in costuming for a series. for 30-something back in the day, now since a director. He saw that glass table. He said, we're going to stick a camera under it and have Jonah spit up blood chunks onto it to help sell the situation that Jonah is in and help us understand what's driving his villainous intent.
And I'm glad that they did it in a way, because it seemed unclear, at least initially, okay, there's this plot to get him with the serum. Have they already been doing this, that he's coughing up the blood? No, what's happening to him is natural decay as opposed to what the Yorkses do to whatever's in the hole that is additional. So he could be a whole lot more sick is what we come to understand by the end of the episode.
It is interesting to think that there could be an argument for the anti-Jonah forces in the story to stop running around with crazy plans and merely just let Jonah die off on the path that he's on. But it would probably be a less interesting story at that point. Pete, you mentioned Jonah, you mentioned Carolina, you mentioned the hole. Topher and Molly talk about getting these powers, for, at least for her, at, you know, the age of change. Is this backdoor pre-Fox post-acquisition prep for mutations?
It's not. I think we can agree that this was written at a time before the Fox merger was solidified. So it's not. Could it be retconned as it? It could. That there's a substance involved. I mean, we saw the glowing rocks in season one. This is some sort of powder, presumably made from the same stuff. I think the biggest question is, where does Topher get his supply?
Well, Pete, I will disagree slightly on the timeline in our real world. It was a little over a year ago, December 14th, 2017, that the intent to merge or purchase merge, whatever, was announced. Certainly, if there are story reasons from the comic that blow my theory away, that's okay. But I think increasingly across all of these Marvel properties, we can start to look, you know, what are they doing to hedge a bet where maybe this is something that could be a thing once all that corporate stuff settles?
Oh, I don't disagree at all that they're hedging their bets. I mean, powers, the M word, et cetera, et cetera. However, you know, though you're talking about the date the original agreement was struck, there was all this back and forth and intrigue as to other studios potentially getting involved and the deal being in jeopardy. So I think the writer's room did not have the 100% assurance that, hey, we will soon be connected with Fox Entertainment. Go ahead and bring in legions of gifted people all at once.
Dale and Stacey York's run from Jonah by driving backwards for a rather extended period of time. Can we get Pete on the record? Do you recommend driving backwards at speed to get away from alien bad guys?
Yes. And if you do it long enough, you will eventually wind up right behind them.
We saw no footage of what the drone saw in the hole. Is this a narrative redirect to save on budget or just building mystery for the future?
Oh, they're absolutely building mystery. You're going to see what's down there.
Pete, here's a little bit of a tender question. What did Chase give Eiffel?
I wondered the very same thing myself. Her eyes quickly went down. Let's remember, Matt, this is Eiffel of sexting Eiffel fame, which, of course, that colloquialism created some confusion with our friend Fred from the Netherlands, who had to look that up and saw some rather interesting things on Google before figuring out what it really meant, that there were inappropriate pictures being texted back and forth. So I presume, since she was taking selfies, that, hey, I'm going to take a selfie with the bad boy, and it's going to be public that they've been back to school. So school will pretty much be shut off to them as an option. And that Gert was again asking to go back for her medicine. She'll have something additionally to be irritable at Chase about.
Lastly, should Carolina be trusting Jonah in this current situation?
No, but her desire to know more about herself outweighs her concern for her safety. And I think that's a pretty intelligent story choice to move the narrative football forward at the same time.
I'll just mention on the topic of Carolina, the digital effects are lovely when she's all glowy. They do have the habit of doing the J.J. Abrams-esque, like light reflecting off the dust on the camera lens, which is not there, but it's all glowy and whatnot. And it annoyed me in prior episodes, but I was like, all right, if that's your choice for the effect that you really want to sell, like it's real because it's glinting off the grit on the lens, that's fine. But then we had Jonah light up. He white and Carolina more kind of that iridescent pink. She had the glint off the digital lens. He did not, which just added to my frustration that they're doing this as an effect that's taking extra time and in my mind is unnecessary.
He is a pasty, elderly white alien. She, of course, luminescent. That they don't often, when they have the effects, share the same shot, I think sold it a little bit better for me. Apart from the fact that he obviously does not look as good from an aesthetic standpoint lit up as she does. I wondered last episode, Matt, whether Jeffrey was aware that Catherine went to see Darius. Here in this episode, we confirm he was unaware, and he's upset that she has killed his friend from back in the day. But that discussion about back in the day was really interesting. The idea of a code on his side that Darius could have harmed Alex, whereas Catherine is pretty much on the side that business is business, that it was a transaction. Which do you think it was?
I think both sides are probably fairly representing their perspectives. And what I thought was interesting about it was the show was injecting a bit more of that discussion of the decisions that you have to make, the maybe people you have to leave behind when you're making major changes in your life, particularly if it's kind of changing your economic status, changing your social status, things like that. And in an episode where there's a whole bunch of other things going on, I appreciated that they kind of stopped to look at what it takes to move from Compton to Brentwood, what it takes to go from kind of certainly the lower socioeconomic end to, you know, I mean, we should all be so lucky to live on the anywhere in Brentwood, let alone the right part of Brentwood, which I think is the south side of Brentwood. But whatever it is, Jeffrey has clearly made decision after decision to better himself. And I think the question posed here is, has it all been worth it? Has that call of the gold been, you know, biting to the poison apple, if you don't mind me mixing my metaphors?
The biopsy sample and what the Yorkses did to it clearly triggered this earthquake. Here's my question. What caused the first one at the end of the season two premiere?
Well, first of all, I'll say it likely triggered it. I think that, you know, was it coincidental or was it causal? I'm certainly not saying it was any, I'm certainly not disagreeing. I just want to say I'm not 100% in, I'm only maybe 90% in. I mean, what caused the first one? Maybe it was the drilling, maybe it was the fiddling around. I feel like I have one expectation that Carolina and Jonah are going to get down there and the creature or creatures are going to see Jonah and it's going to be, you know, hail fellow alien friend. The flip side is it could be the Jonah or the others. Well, I guess the dig is under Jonah's direction. But maybe Jonah is manipulating these creatures. To what end, I don't know. But maybe it's Jonah who's doing it, Pete.
Well, Matt, from an alien with manipulative powers to a legion of Earthlings with nothing but love in their hearts, I want to take a minute to thank, at the end of the year here, all of our wonderful patrons to patreon.com that keep our dig site up and running 365.
Indeed, Pete. There aren't monsters at the bottom of our dig site, just more audio content, particularly as we look ahead to 2019, and we can't talk about some of that stuff yet, Pete, but as we have more adventures ahead of us, it's so great to know that we're supported by those who go to patreon.com/fantasticgeek, helping keep this whole operation afloat.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content, and then there's all sorts of levels from there. There's the Platinum Jonah package, where we invite you into our hall.
Well, Pete, now let's talk a whole lot of feedback, and some of it coming from our pal, fan favorite, Fred in the Netherlands.
Hello, Matt and Pete. This is Fred from the Netherlands with some feedback for Runaways Season 2, Episode 4. It starts to become a habit, a recording every morning for Runaways. I'm starting to feel a little bit like a speedy guy. Okay, about this episode. First off, I really want to make the makers a compliment about the beautiful scenery, lighting. I sent you with this some examples about a very beautiful lighting, a very beautiful composition. And another thing that I noticed is that there were very nice, very close close-ups in this episode. One other thing I noticed in this episode, there was a little less quarreling between the kids and also the parents amongst them. I was listening back to one of my older feedbacks, and I noticed that I said in my feedback for season 1, episode 4, that I really wonder if this quarreling would cease when the kids would more focus on their parents being their enemies and so having an enemy together. But just one season further, the quarreling is still there. I think this was a nice action-packed episode. What I thought was very funny was the scene with Gert and the school nurse, and another funny quote, "The motorcade of evil is coming." Last point, do we trust Tover or not? He is being very, very nice, and if I see how the gang is treating him, well, if I would be Tover, I would be gone. So he's sticking around, and as one of them asks him, what's in it for you? It doesn't become clear. I don't really trust him. And one other thing is that I didn't expect Carolina would go with Jonah into the pit. I was amazed by it, actually. Okay, Christmas coming, 4 episodes in. Have a nice holiday. Greetings, Fred from the Netherlands, a.k.a. on the Twitter machine, @petrified_Fred, 72 followers, can't be wrong.
Well, first off, we got to get Fred up there on the Twitter machine, okay? 72 followers needs to be like 7,200 followers tomorrow, okay? Get you up there in Spoiler Pete territory before you know it, Fred.
Absolutely, Pete, and he mentions some of the camera work in this episode and indeed sent us some really great pictures of some of the close-ups. One shot that he pointed out in terms of composition was on that train trolley thing that Jonah and Carolina were on, where they're kind of centered in it, and there's all the vertical handrails and the vertical edges of the windows and whatnot. It's really kind of this, you know, it's obviously making use of this real location in Los Angeles, but it's using it in a really kind of, I don't want to say straightforward, but I mean, it's using all those vertical lines to great effect. particularly kind of framing their faces where they're not separated by the bars, I think kind of showing their closeness. I don't know if a TV director always puts that much thought into composition, but I think that, you know, this is a director who's been in Hollywood for 30, 35 years, whether he sat down and said, ooh, these bars will metaphorically show that because they are on the inside of them, they are together, whether that's done consciously or not. I think when you're a talented person, you get some of those effects regardless.
We've seen such influence from the source material with the comic, obviously in terms of character design. But here, particularly the way that Fred has, you know, sent us these pictures, really, really highlights how they look like comic panels.
You know, that's a really great observation. And I feel like, Pete, when we're done with Runaways and when we're done with Punisher, that, you know, our fear is going to come while we're still doing Runaways. But when we're done with all that and the old podcast slows down a tad, maybe it's time for at least me to dig deep into some of these comics. Spoiler free, though, I like to be, because you do wonder, you know, have they taken, ooh, that iconic glow of the way the dinner table is presented in, you know, issue 32, and look, they've replicated it in season 2, episode 4, that kind of thing. Or is it a whole creation of the director? Is it something that's in the script, which we wouldn't necessarily have access to? But it just shows that this is a well-adapted, well-conceived, well-executed show, even though it is, you know, high school kids hate their parents. Pete, much like Fred, how can people be in touch with you to share their thoughts about Runaways?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, KetelaaR, 10,264 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word. Like it today. Be part of the conversation on that community.
Pete, we are about to turn the old calendar to next week. We, of course, will be continuing to talk Runaways on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Got one more podcast for 2018. That'll be Runaways 205, if my math is correct. Is my math correct, Pete?
It is indeed.
So, kind of fitting that we started the year talking Runaways, and we're finishing the year talking some Runaways in this really fantastic way that these two seasons have been released in such close proximity to each other. But with that, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
East of La Brea? What's even over there? I was arrested. The car was impounded.